Right, it's 28 minutes past one. Now, as you heard in the news, Cambridge-based charity CBM are working across several countries out in Africa, but in particular in Rwanda, to help bring eyesight services closer to rural communities. They have a See the Way campaign underway at the moment, which runs until the early part of May, where throughout the campaign, for every pound that the public donate, the UK government will aid match it with a pound of their own money. So it is obviously a great source of income. Vital funds to this Cambridge-based charity. Earlier in the week, I spoke to TV presenter Diane Louise Jordan. You'll know her as a former Blue Peter presenter and also from Songs of Praise. She went out to Rwanda with her 12-year-old grandson, Preston, and she's reported back. So I spoke to Diane earlier this week on the phone. And here she is joining me on the line, hot foot back from Rwanda. It's Diane Louise Jordan. Diane, hello there.
Hi there, Neil. So great to be back and have an opportunity to tell you about what we experienced.
Great stuff. Now, you've been involved with CBM for some time, haven't you? How did you get involved? What was all that about?
Do you know, absolutely years ago, I don't know, I mean, we're talking decades ago, Kate, who is part of their team, she approached loads of celebrities. I can't remember what it was. It was some sort of promotion about eyesight. And I was just one of many celebrities who agreed to take our photos or something. I vaguely remember it, vaguely. But Kate's very good at relationship. And so she just stayed in touch. And then the more that she stayed in touch, the more I started becoming interested in the work of CBM, and actually alongside that it was becoming increasingly the whole, particularly the area, because obviously this charity supports all sorts of people with disability, but it's for me, I was being drawn quite considerably to the work that they do for vision, because on a personal note, that's because I have a history of cataract and glaucoma in my extended family. So everybody on my mum's side, aunts, uncles, well, her sisters and brothers, my granddad, grandma, they all have had cataract and glaucoma issues to deal with. So over the years, I've been involved in anything that CBM's done, I've been happy to support. But I think I got to the stage where I really thought I need to see firsthand how these sort of conditions are affecting people in communities where they don't have easy access to the eye care facilities that we do here in the UK. Quite often when we see on the news pictures of people who are slightly more disadvantaged in a foreign country, you just see lots and lots of faces of sad people or people looking a bit vulnerable, and they're slightly nameless, and they just look, it's easy to become not really connect in a personal way. But all of us have families or people that we care about, and I think to see it in the context of not just that person but the impact of that person's loss of sight on the wider family and the wider community, for me, I just think putting things in context helps us to really empathize and imagine what we would be like if we were in their place. And so we went to see a young boy who's 10 years old, so 2 years younger than my grandson, and the same age as one of his sisters. So he could really relate to this little boy. The first day we arrived, we went to, because we arrived in Kigali and they lived in, which is the capital, and they lived in one of the rural villages miles away, about a 3-hour drive away. And the community, they're lovely. You know, we've got so much to learn about how to live and care about one another and to stay in our communities from what we saw there as well. So there's a lot that we, we learned from them as well as, hopefully going over to help. And so we met Etienne and his mum and dad and his brothers and sisters, and the parents kept describing him as, they love him, there's no doubt about it, they love their kid, but they kept saying having him without that sight is a burden to the community. Yeah. And later on a doctor explained a bit more about that as well, and they were between the parents and the doctor. I understood that in a rural community where the entire family have to work the land together to bring in the income for them all to survive, They don't have the National Health Service and all the other things that we moan about that, you know, we should be so grateful
sure.
for. But, you know, so if you have nothing there, you have nothing. And so it's, so the whole family has to be productive. Every member of that family has to be productive. And if you have somebody who actually cannot see to do their job, cannot see to even go to the loo on their own or, you know, basic things, then that person will always have to have another person with them. So not only is that person taking, because you're feeding them and clothing them and all that stuff, and they're not giving, they've also taken out another person who could be doing all those things because that person has to look after the person who can't see. And if we hadn't, you know, CBM hadn't stepped in with all the generous gifts that people over here give to help that work, that little boy would have ended up, if he lived till he was 80, 90, whatever old he lived to, he would have been a burden to the day he died, and it would have been very unlikely that he would have been able to have a family of his own. And I can just imagine all the sort of regret and the resentment and all those bitter things that would have set into that sweet little spirit, that sweet little soul, if that had continued to be the trajectory of his life.
This is the thing, isn't it? You've got a country where life is hard enough anyway. And,
yeah.
And as you say, if you've got this instance, if this is happening in families across the country, it's bad at an individual level, it's bad at a local community level, and for a country that's struggling, it's unsustainable, isn't it? It's terrible.
It's really bad. It's really, really bad. And and, you know, it's funny you said the country that's struggling, and it is. There are lots of challenges there. And but I also want to stress that there are so, in terms of how a community, sometimes we, with all our sort of modern technology and our alleged advancement, I think sometimes we can lose our soul
yeah.
and our connectedness. And so, you know, both Preston and I had a sort of mixed feelings in sense. We saw the poverty, we saw how hard it was, and also we saw things that we envied, you know, like how lovely for the family to spend the day together and to eat together and to work together and to support one another and for the wider community. You know, it's only, they're small communities and everybody knows each other and cares about each other because they, you know, in a way you have to for the greater good. And so, and there's a sort of slower pace of life as well because things are much more simple. And you know, so there was a huge amount of envy going on in me as well, and Preston too. So we visited the family the first day, and then on that day, Etienne got into a car for the first time with his daddy and drove to the city to hopefully have his eyesight restored. And he'd never been in the car before, so he cried about being in the car, leaving his mum. And, you know, it was a massive deal. And
yeah.
can you imagine all your 10 years of your life and, you know, when you're a little person, 10 years, your whole life is your life.
You yes,
know?
Indeed.
It's a long time. And not being able to see. So just black all your life. And then everyone's making this fuss. And you will know that you're a burden. And then all this hope being placed on your little shoulders for this operation that you have no idea if it's going to work, if it's going to hurt, if you're going to be able to see afterwards. And if you can't see afterwards, the huge crushing disappointment and the level of pressure. And also because he was 10 years old, the chances of him seeing were greatly reduced because, as the doctor was saying, every year that your eyesight goes untreated, it increases quite dramatically the lack of success in, and you get to a point where there's no point doing the operation
right.
because it's not going to work.
Right.
And he was very near that level. So this little boy, he's going off to have this absolutely, for him, terrifying operation in a place where it's, you know, it's like him going abroad. It's like a new land. His dad has to wait in another room. He's not allowed in that room. But, you know me, my pushy little self, I said, right, I'm going into that room, he's going to sit on my lap, and he's not going to be alone. And so lucky little Etienne, well, lucky for all of us, you know, we were able to be together, and I was with him in the waiting room. I had the privilege of being in the room when the surgery was taking place. We were with him when he came to. So, you know, his dad, me, Preston all together. And then the next day, we went back. That's when it was the time for the bandages to be taken off. And the doctor said, well, you know, please don't be super excited and super hopeful because, as I told you, the odds are still hugely against him. And also, even if he can see, it might be quite distressing for him to begin with because he's lived all his life in darkness.
Yeah, it's overload, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sensory overload. And you can imagine even more so with that bright sunshine.
Yeah.
And the doctor took the bandages off off his eyes, and you know, he fluttered his eyes around a bit, and we're like, "Can you see? Can you see?" And then the doctor held up a pen, a blue and white pen, and he said, "Etienne, what have I got in my hand?" And Etienne said, "A pen." We're like, "Whoa! How do you know what a pen looks like? You know, and what colour is it? Blue and white. Wow! You can see colour." And then he said, "Etienne, take the pen." And so the little boy reached out, was able to pick up the pen. So, yeah, maybe he can see. So then the doctor said, "Okay, Etienne, what else have I got in my hand?" And he said, "Mobile phone. What colour? Black. Okay, take it." And he picked up the mobile phone. And then he said something like, "Oh, and who's with you?" You know, and Etienne just looked at us and smiled. We were all, by this stage, you know, everybody was floored. We are now going to be friends with them for life. Preston was saying, "Oh, Granny, I think I might want to, you know, like stay in touch with him, like sort of like a pen pal." And he said, "And, you know, would we be able to come back even, you know, in maybe 10 years or maybe before so I can see how he's grown up so we can talk about when we first met and what we're doing now?" And he said, "You know, maybe I'll be at university then." So, yeah, we're staying in touch.
This is fantastic. And I take it that, you know, from your point of view, it's lovely to be involved with a charity like CBM, but to go out there and to actually see on the front line just what a difference it's making. It's,
yeah. So really And can I just say to you also, in this period of time now, if anybody's moved by what I've said, and I really hope you have been, we've got a window of opportunity where we can really go, we can go crazy generous. And you know, everyone's talking about being kind at the moment. Well, we can really show how kind and generous we are by digging a little bit deeper, you know, forget that coffee for a week or something, or, you know, whatever the new pair of shoes that you may not need. And if you can really dig deep, and you know, if your listeners can really dig deep and donate some money between now and the 12th of May, every single pound that's offered, that's donated, will be doubled by the UK government. That will help CBM provide eye services much nearer to the rural communities, so that people like Etienne's dad and his mum don't have to take a whole day, 2 days out basically, just to go and have a simple eye test. But, you know, they're trying to get services much nearer the people, and we really, really, really need your support, because even with the huge success we've had with Etienne, that family still now face the next burden, which is travelling regularly back to the hospital, because he's going to have eye drops all his life and glasses, you know, there's a cost around that, and the travelling to and from. And we want to encourage and make it as possible as we can for his parents to keep up all those appointments and to keep the eye drops going. And I think one of the best ways we can help is to take the pressure off by building services much closer to home. So if we can do that, that would be fabulous.
All right, Diane. Well, hopefully that See the Way appeal will raise the money you're talking about. I know it's a 3-year program that you've got on the go out there in Rwanda. It sounds like you can see that, you know, the day to day, you can see the changes that a program like that will make. And obviously, it's been wonderful to hear your story. So,
thank you. Yeah, I mean, it is. Literally, how many things can we? How many good causes can we support where you literally see a miracle happen in front of your eyes?
Yes.
You know, one day you're blind, you have an operation, the next day you can see. Fantastic. Well, if that's not good value for money, I don't know what is.
I think that's a very valid point, Diane. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for telling us your story.
You.
And good luck with everything.
God bless you. Thank you.
Goodbye. There we are. That's Diane Louise Jordan talking on the phone earlier in the week. And that See the Way appeal is underway, as she was saying, until the 12th of May. For every pound you donate, it'll be doubled by the UK government. If you'd like to donate, you can just go to the website seetheway.org. Seetheway.org. That will take you through. And if you go to the CBM website, you can find out more about their work in general and about the See the Way campaign. That's cbmuk.org.uk. CBMUK.org.uk.